Siyata Deshmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Beis, and we're going to start 9 lines from the top of the Omud. Kalkulo Voho Even Besoicha. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Omud Beis that one's allowed to move a basket on Shabbos even though there's a stone in it. A stone is Mukta Machmas Gufoy. You're not allowed to move it for any reason in the world on Shabbos. Why are you allowed to move it? Says the Gemara Va'amai. Why are you allowed to move it? To have a kalkola bosses ledavar ha'asur. It's true that the basket in its own right wouldn't be mukta. So you can say, I'm carrying the basket. The stone just happens to be in it. But that's not true. We know there's a rule called bosses ledavar ha'asur. If something is a base, is carrying, is holding something which is mukta, the base itself becomes mukta. So over here, the basket itself should be considered mukta, and you're not allowed to move it with the stone in. Answers the Gemara, Omar Rabba Bar Brachon, Omar B'Yechanon, Hocha B'Kalkolo Maleo Peiros Oskinon. We're talking about that besides for the stone in this basket, there's lots of other fruits, vegetables, produce in this basket, and the main base, that means the basket is mainly a base for things that are not mukta, and therefore the basket itself is not mukta, so you can carry the basket even though the stone is in it. Asks the Gemara, V'lishdinhu leperi, v'nishdi le'even, v'ninketinhu biyodaim. Even though the bosses, the basket itself, is maybe not mukta, but you're not allowed to move something that's mukta, if you can avoid it. And we have an easy way of avoiding it. Why don't you just pour out all the contents of this basket, l'shdinu l'peri, pour it all out, spill out all the produce, v'nishdi le'even, and then throw out the stone, v'ninketinu biyodaim, and then collect all the produce, all the fruits, vegetables, and put it back in the basket, and go on your way. Why do you have to move the basket with the stone in? Answers the Gemara, k'derbi loy omarav. We know in the name of Rav there's a concept in a different place, a different halacha, that there are some fruits, for example, cooked fruits and vegetables that are very soft, figs, strawberries, grapes, that if you're going to throw them onto the ground when you empty the basket, they're going to get ruined, so that's not an option. So you have no other choice other than to carry the basket with the stone in. Ask the Gemara, V'lin arinhu ne'uri. Why don't you just move around, juggle around the basket until all the fruits and vegetables are on one side and the stone is on the other side and surfaces to the top, and then just tilt out the stone and then leave everything else in the basket, then whatever's in the basket will not become ruined or spoiled on the floor, and the stone will be out. Why do you have to carry the stone? Try and get it out. Answers the Gemara, Omer of Chia Bar Ashi Omarova, Hocha Bekalkolo Pchusa Oskinon. We're talking here about a punctured basket, and this stone, De Even Gufa Nasis Doifin Lekalkolo. It's only thanks to the stone that the basket is holding everything else. If we're going to move the stone out of the way, then the produce of the basket is going to fall through the hole. You're not going to be able to use it. So, and since we need the basket for the fruit, we have no choice other than to leave the stone where it is. Continues the Gemara, Umetaltelin Truma V'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that even though Truma Tamea, you're not allowed to move on Shabbos, because it's mukta, you're not allowed, you cannot eat it. However, if you've got a basket with truma tamea and truma tahira in, or truma tamea with chulin, you're allowed to move the whole basket. Omer of Chizda, lo yishonu, this halacha that you're allowed to move the truma tamea together with the truma tahira or the chulin is only correct, elo she tahira lemata utmea lemailo. It's only true if the tahir fruits, the tahir truma or the chulin is underneath, and the tuma part is on top, so you cannot lift up, you're not allowed to move the truma, the truma tamea. It's mukta. So you've got no choice, you have to move the basket with everything that you want. You're going to take it till the table, till whatever you want to eat, you're going to spill it all on the table, and then you'll just take out the fruits that you're allowed to eat and that you want to eat. However, in the event, that's only true if the truma tamei is on top. However, Aval tahir olamalo utme olamato. If the tahir fruits are on top of the basket and the tome fruits are lower down, then you don't need to move the basket at all. Shokil leila tahir, or just take all the tahir, the truma tahira or the chulin which is on top, take it with your hands, v'shavik leila tmeah, and leave the tuma truma in the basket. Why do you have to move the basket? So that's what Rav Chisda says, that the halach in the Mishnah that you're allowed to move the basket with the truma tmeah is only true if the truma tmeah is on top. Asks the Gemara, v'chi tahira lemata, even in the event that the truma tmeah is on top and the tahir is underneath, nami lishdinu v'lin katinu. Why don't you just throw everything onto the floor, let it all spill out, and then the truma tmeah will be wherever it will be. You'll pick up the truma tahira and the chulin, put it back in the basket, and off you go on your way. Why do you have to carry the truma tmeah? Omer biloy, omarav, v'peiros hamatinofin askinon. It's the same as we saw before, that in this basket you've got fruits and vegetables that are going to get ruined, they've been cooked, they're soft, and if you spill them on the floor, they're going to get ruined. So you've got no choice other than to keep them in the basket. If they're at the top, you can take them out with your hands and take them without spilling them. If the truma tmeah is on top, you cannot move the truma tmeah with your hands. You have no choice, and you can move the whole basket with the truma tmeah. Meisvei, the Gemara is now going to ask a question on Rav Chisda from a Braisa. It says in the Braisa, Metaltilin truma tmeah imatahira. As we saw, one's allowed to carry the truma tmeah with the truma tahira in the same basket. V'imachulin, it doesn't matter if it's truma tahira with the truma tmeah, if it's chulin with the truma tmeah. Bein she tahira lemalo, utmeah lemato. Bein she tmeah lemalo, utruma tahira, utruma lemato. Irrespective of whether the truma tmeah is at the top or at the bottom, you're allowed to move the whole basket. Tiyufta de Rav Chisda. Is this a question, a refutation against Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda said that if the truma tahira or the chulin is on top, you're not allowed to move the basket. You just have to take away the truma tahira, which is not mukta, or the chulin, which is not mukta, and you don't need to carry the basket. And here you see explicitly in the Braisa that even if the truma tahira is on top or the chulin is on top, you're allowed to move the whole basket. Omalachar Rav Chisda, the Gemara says no. I'll explain to you the difference. Masnisin, our Mishnah, is talking about l'tzeirach gufoy, when you actually want to eat the tahir fruits, and therefore, if the truma tahir is on top, take away the truma tahir up, take it to where you want to eat and eat it. Gesundheit. And there's no reason that you should have to move the whole basket. Braisa, however, the Braisa l'tzeirich mekoymoi is talking about that you need the place where the basket is, and therefore it's not good enough to just take away the truma tahira and leave the basket where it is. You need the whole basket to be moved out of the way, and therefore you're allowed to move the basket with the truma tahira and the truma tmeah. You're allowed to move it all away. Asks the Gemara, "My duchke de Rav Chisda la'ikma masnis in the tzeirich kufoi." What compelled Rav Chisda to say that our Mishnah is talking about that you actually want the fruits le'tzeirich kufoi, and that made Rav Chisda say that the Mishnah is only true if the truma tameya is on top, but if the truma tahira or the chulin is on top, then you're not allowed to move the truma tameya, and that's only when it's tzeirich kufoi? Maybe the Mishnah was also talking about tzeirich mekoymoi, and then it's true even if the truma tahira is on top. Omar Rava said, Masnisin kavosei daika. There's proof from the Mishnah itself to what Rav Chisda said. To Rav Chisda's understanding that the Mishnah is talking about that you want to eat the fruits l'tzeirach gufoy. Diktoni sefer, because the continuation of this Mishnah, which is actually going to be a Mishnah on Amud Beis, mois she'al hakar. If you have coins, which are also mukta, on a pillow, menayir es hakar v'hein noiflois. You're allowed to shake, or you have to shake the pillow and let the coins fall down, and you're not allowed to carry the pillow with the coins. V'omer Rabbi Bar Bar Chonam Rabbi Yechonon explained that loishanu elo l'tzeirich gufoy. That's only true if you need the pillow. Take the pillow, leave the coins. Av l'tzeirich mekoymoi. If you need the place where the pillow was, and that's why you're moving the pillow, it doesn't help if you put the coins in the place of the pillow. You need that place vacated. And therefore, you have no choice. You can move the pillow with the coins on top of it. You move the pillow with the coins on top of it. Amid the sefer letzerich kufay, since the Mishnah, the end, which Rabbi Yochanan explained, must be talking about, or is talking about, letzerich kufay, which is why you're allowed to drop the coins behind, why you have to drop the coins behind and not move them with a pillow. Reishanami letzerich kufay. It would make sense to say that the Reisha, the beginning of the Mishnah, which is our Mishnah, is also letzerich kufay. Since it's letzerich kufay, you don't need to move the basket. But that's only if you can get to the fruits without moving the basket, by taking the fruits. But if the truma tamei is on top, then in any case, you're not allowed to take the truma tamei by hand. You have to spill it out. You can't spill it out here. So you have to take it to the table you want to eat, and then you can spill it out on the table you want to eat and eat the truma tahira or the chulin. Which is exactly what Rav Chisda said. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Af Mailin V'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Af Malin Es Hamaduma Be'echod Umeo. And we explained when we learned the Mishnah, we'll just repeat it again to understand what's going on here. Truma Tameo is truma, regular truma. Regular truma has to be eaten betaira by a kohen. What happens if some truma falls into chulin? Then we would have thought that the whole mixture, which is now got partly truma, has to go to the kohen. A zor, somebody who's not a kohen, who eats truma, is a very severe avera. So we have no choice, and the whole thing has to be given to the kohen. However, in the same way as there are other halachas of bittel, that if you've got a majority, and there's different rules and different levels of majority, but if you have a substantial amount more tohoir, mutar over osa, or chulin over truma, then we just disregard the truma and we assume the whole thing is chulin. Now, how much do you need of the chulin that's going to be mevatel the truma? 100 times more. If you have one portion of truma and 100 portions of chulin, then we disregard the truma and the whole thing is considered chulin. But in order that the kohanim should not lose out, however much truma fell in, you have to take out that amount and give that to the kohen, and the rest you can eat. Now the big question that we're going to have here is, how do we look at this? Do we look at this as if the whole mixture, there's one part truma, there's 100 parts chulin, it's all mixed together, you're allowed to eat it, but before you're allowed to eat it, even if you're not a kohen, you have to take out one portion, which was the amount of truma. Do we say that the truma part is an independent part? It's lying, it's sitting there someplace independently on its own. It's separate. And when you take out part, we assume, or we look at it as if I took out the truma part. And all the rest, it's as if it's purely chulin and not a mixture. Or do we say no? We say that the truma is evenly spread out in the whole mixture. And it's as if the whole thing is 1% or 1 out of 101, just under 1% of truma, and the rest is chulin. Just as a side halacha, you have to take out that amount and give it to the kohen. And the rest you're allowed to eat, because even though we assume and we know that there's truma everywhere, dispersed according to the ratio of 1 to 100, nonetheless, that's the halacha, that it's muta. Or do we say, the other tzad, is that it's as if the truma is only on the side and it's not even mixed in. You just don't know where it is. So whichever part you take out, we're allowed to assume that's the truma part. That's what we're going to discuss here, but let's move into the sugya gradually. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Af Malin V'chulu. So the Mishnah says, it's a chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda, that even though it's bottle, you've got Echod Umeo, one portion, one part truma, 100 parts chulin. You're allowed to eat it, but there's a condition. Before you eat it, you have to take out the amount of the truma and give it to the kohen. Rabbi Yehuda says you're even allowed to take out that one part on Shabbos and give it to the kohen, or set it aside, and you can eat the rest on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara of Amai, why does Rabbi Yehuda let you do that? How come a second you're repairing this mixture? Before you take out this part, it's all osa. You're not allowed to eat it. Taking out the part now allows you to eat everything that's left. That's called fixing. You're not allowed to fix on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda k'Rabbi Eliezer sfirle. Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer, and we're about to see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that the truma was actually never mixed with the chulin, even though it did get mixed in, but halachically speaking, we look at it as if the truma stayed on its own, and technically speaking, the chulin part was never mixed with the truma. And since it was never mixed with the truma, it's not called that I'm fixing the chulin. Da'omar, and now we're going to see this Rabbi Eliezer inside. Da'omar truma be'ino mochsa. That he holds that truma is be'ino, which means it's separately, mochsa, it's lying. It's lying separately, it's not a mixture. If the truma would be mixed and dispersed in the whole thing, and then the whole thing is one big mixture of Issa, until I take out my bit, and then the whole thing becomes muta, I fixed the whole thing. But if the whole thing was always chulin, just some place, there's a bit of truma, you have to separate it. So wherever you separate, that was the truma bit, all the rest was always chulin, you're not fixing anything. So that's what it says, that we hold like Rabbi Eliezer, that none we saw in the Mishnah. So, truma, if a single saw of truma, shenoflo lepochis mimeo, that fell into less than 100 saw of chulin, v'nidmu, and it got mixed up. V'nofal min hameduma, and from this mixture, lemokim achir, it fell, part of it fell into some more chulin. For example, if in the first mixture you had one portion truma, 60 portions of chulin, so you don't have 100. And regarding truma, bittel only works if you have 100 times more. So here you've got a 1 out of 60, or 1 out of 61 part of this mixture is truma. And now it falls into another mixture, let's say another 60 times of the original truma, then it depends. If you see the truma as being not mixed, then there's always a chance that the part that fell from the first mixture into the second mixture was 100% truma. So I need again 100 times more of that mixture in the second mixture in order for it to be, not that mixture, 100 times more the truma in the second mixture before it becomes mutar. If, however, you say that when the truma fell into the 60 times, it's completely mixed. The whole mixture is a combination of one portion truma, 60 portions chulin, then if a little bit falls into another portion, only 1 out of 61 parts of that, what fell into the second basket of truma, of chulin, is going to be truma. So I don't need 100 times more than the whole original truma, I only need 100 times more than 1/60th of what fell into the second chulin. And that's going to be a machlekes in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, medamas ketrumas vadai. That we look at it as if the first mixture, the part that fell into the second mixture, into the second basket of chulin, is 100% truma, because we say the truma didn't get mixed up, the truma stood on its own, it's separate. So we say that since you didn't have 100 times more for the bittel, we say that that part fell into the second basket of chulin, and now you need to be mevatel that whole part by 100. The chacham say no. Ein hameduma medamea elo lefi cheshbon. The original mixture only causes the second basket of chulin to be called a mixture of chulin and truma only according to the ratio of what fell into it. So like we said, if in the first basket it's 1 out of 60 or 1 out of 61 of truma in the first basket, then however much fell into the second basket, I only need 100 times more, 1 out of 60 of what fell in. Because that's the only part, according to the proportions, according to the ratio of truma. So you see here that the machlokes chachomim and Rabbi Eliezer, if we view the whole truma as being on its own or mixed in, and since Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer that it stands on its side, therefore taking it away is not called that I'm fixing the whole mixture. Says the Gemara, Eimer de Shamos Leilu Chumra.
maybe Rabbi Eliezer only says his chiddush, that it's as if truma is separate, only when it's going to come to an extra stringency. For example, if it falls into a second basket, that I need 100 times more than everything that fell into it, or as 100 times more than the original truma that we have. But l'kulam mishamasli, does Rabbi Eliezer believe in this svara to the extent that even if it's going to be a kula, that means that you're allowed to separate it even on Shabbos and it's not called fixing, he's going to go that far? We don't know that. Rabbi Eliezer only says his halacha l'chumra. Ela hu da'omak Reb Shimon. You're right. It could be that Rabbi Eliezer is machmir and not makel. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that's even makel, is following Reb Shimon. Kedetnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Sa'a truma shenoflo lemeo. If one portion, one sa'a, a measure of truma, fell into 100 measures of chulin, and that's really enough, it's bottle. There's just a side halacha that you have to take away as much of the truma that fell in and give it to a kohen. V'lo hispik lahagbia, he did not have time, he didn't manage to take away, to take out, to lift up from this mixture the amount of the truma that fell in order to give to the kohen, achenoflo acheres, until another saw fell into this portion, into this mixture. So the chachomim say, harezu asura, the whole thing is asa, because now, what have I got now? All the while that the first mixture, the first truma fell into 100, we look at the whole mixture as being a mixture of one portion truma and the rest is chulin. And it's all still considered a mixture. Once you take out, you do this halacha of taking out the original truma, the amount of the original truma, and the ratio was 1 to 100, then it's mutter. Over here that you didn't do that. So you've still got a whole mixture of 1 to 100 truma to chulin, and then another one fell in, so now you have 2 to 100. That's only 1 to 50. So now the Chachamim say, the whole thing is asa, you don't have enough for the bittel. Reb Shimon Matir. Reb Shimon says no. Reb Shimon says it's mutter, and you're allowed to just take out your two portions of truma, give it to the Kohen, all the rest is mutter. So, and to what, how are we understanding Reb Shimon? The Reb Shimon says that when the first truma fell in, we don't look at it as if it's all mixed. We look at it as if it's separately on the side. And the part that you're going to take out, that's going to be the part which we assume, and we look at it as if it's 100% truma. And so that was on the side. Since it fell 1 to a ratio of 100, the truma's on the side, all the rest is mutter. You just have to take it off. No problem. Now that another one fell in, okay, that's fine. So we assume that that one fell in into the 100 chulin, because according to Reb Shimon, which goes in a similar logic to Reb Eliezer before, the 100 chulin did not get mixed with the one of truma. The one of truma is on the side. So we look at the second one of truma that didn't fall into the mixture, making it now 2 to 100. No, it fell into the chulin part, which stands on its own, and it's again 1 to 100. No problem. Take out the two ones, you're left with 100 chulin. No problem. So here you see Reb Shimon, who's following the logic of Reb Eliezer, and he's saying it even Lukula. He's saying that when the second one fell in, it didn't fall into a mixture, making the mixture a ratio of 2 to 100, which is not good enough. It's going to be, the whole thing is asa. The whole thing is considered truma. He says it's muta, because he holds that the whole chulin stayed separate. Even Lukula, to the extent that when the second one falls in, it fell into the 100 of chulin, take out the two parts of truma, and enjoy and eat the rest. So you see here, you've got Reb Shimon who says this logic, even Lukula, Reb Yehuda must be following Reb Shimon. In the same way as Reb Shimon says Lukula here, Reb Yehuda says Lukula regarding Shabbos, it's not called fixing. Says the Gemara, no. It could be Reb Shimon agrees with the logic of the Chachomim, that really when it gets mixed in, it's not that the truma is on the side. No, the whole thing is considered a mixture. And so why then, when the second one fell in, do we say that it's okay? You didn't yet take out the part of truma. So now the whole mixture is two parts truma to 100 of chulin. And that doesn't work. So how are we going to explain it? Says the Gemara, Mimai, Dilma Hosom, Bahokum Iflegi, maybe everybody agrees, like the Chachomim, that it's all a mixture. And they're arguing as follows. The Tanakam Masovar Afal Gav de Noflu Bezeachazer, Command de Noflu Bevasachas Domi. The Tanakama hold that if it falls, that even though it fell in separately, it's as if it fell in together. Two parts that fall into 100 of Chulin is 1 to 50, that's not bittel. And the whole thing is considered truma. And then it doesn't help to take out now the two parts because the whole thing has already become, has the status of truma. V'ho l'chamishim noflo. We assume that one part truma got mixed into half of this, and the other part truma got mixed into half, and that's a ratio of 1 to 50, and that's why it's osa. Reb Shimon Sov, Reb Shimon says no. Kamaisa botil b'meo. When the first one fell in, it's 1 to 100. At that point, the whole thing is already considered chulin. It's true that you're not allowed to eat it until you separate the part and put it aside for the kohen, but that's a technicality. But there's a halacha, and the bittel works. As soon as the truma falls into 100 of chulin, the whole thing is considered chulin. Another one fell in. Okay, so now one fell into 101 of chulin. That's also okay. Reb Shimon Sova, kamaisa botil b'meo, v'ho, that means the first one that fell into the truma, into the chulin, is a ratio of 1 to 100. It's botil. V'ho, and the second one that fell in, ti botil b'meo v'chad, fell into a ratio of 101, because now the whole thing is chulin, and even the original one of truma is considered chulin. So now you've got the second one of truma fell into 101 of chulin, and that's why it's all okay. There's a side halacha you have to take; you can't eat it until you take off for the kohen. But according to Reb Shimon, it could be that it's all mixed, and taking off for the kohen would be called fixing it on Shabbos. And therefore you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So you can't say Rabbi Yehuda, who says in our Mishnah that you're allowed to fix it on Shabbos, is following Rabbi Shimon. No. Maybe Rabbi Shimon just says that there's a chiddush that it's not considered that 1 to 50, it's considered 1 to 100, and after Shabbos you'll separate what you need for the kohen and you can eat the rest. But Rabbi Yehuda, we still don't have somebody who clearly holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's not called fixing on Shabbos. Elo Huda Omak Reb Shimon ben Elozo. Reb Yehuda follows another opinion, it's the one of Reb Shimon ben Elozo. The Tanya we saw in the Braise, Reb Shimon ben Elozo Oimer. Noisen Einov Bitzad Ze Voichel Mitzad Acher. Reb Shimon ben Elozo goes as far as to say that the Truma, it's not as if, like we've said in the Chachomim, that the Truma's mixed in the whole thing, and the whole thing is a mixture of a ratio of one Truma, 100 chulin, and you have to take away some in order to give it to the kohen, and then the whole thing becomes chulin. Reb Shimon ben Elozo goes as far as saying you don't even have to take it away. You can just imagine or just look at one side of this mixture and say that one portion on the left-hand side, that's going to be for the kohen, and all the rest is chulin, and you're even allowed to eat from the rest before you take away the chulin part. Before you take away, that part that is dedicated to be for the kohen, you're already allowed to start eating on Shabbos. And since you're already allowed to start eating this on Shabbos, so it's not called fixing. Because even if I don't take it off, I'm allowed to eat it. But I just have to look at one side and say, I'm going to, after Shabbos, take away that part for the kohen, and I can already start eating. So, it's not called fixing. And here we don't need to follow the logic that we saw before with Reb Shimon and Reb Eliezer, that it's considered as if it's be'ino mochsa, as if the truma is not mixed into the truma, into the chulin. No, it could be it's all mixed. Reb Shimon ben Elozo says there's a halacha that especially on Shabbos, and we'll soon see that on Shabbos, according to Reb Shimon ben Elozo, you're not allowed to take away this truma. You just look at the one side, dedicate that for the kohen part, and the rest you can eat. If so, it's fixed. You don't need to do anything. If you don't need to do anything, then it's not called fixing. Asks the Gemara, Misovar Leikavasei, does Reb Shimon ben Elozo hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're actually allowed to separate the part for the kohen and eat the rest? Rabbi Yehuda says, Af Malin Et Hamaduma, you're allowed to take out, actively, physically take out the part that's going to be for the kohen, and then you can eat the rest. Does Reb Shimon ben Elozo agree with that? There's a brisa that explicitly says that Shimon ben Elazar argues with Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Malin es hamaduma be'echad umeo." Then, as providing that the mixture itself is a ratio of 1 to 100, you're allowed to take away the part for the kohen, separate it, and eat the rest. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that on Shabbos you don't separate it. You're not allowed to separate it. Only nosan einov bitzad zeh. You look at one side and dedicate that side. That afterwards you're going to leave that over for the kohen. Va'oichu mitzad achir, and you can eat the rest. So how can you say that Rabbi Yehuda is following Shimon ben Elazar, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says it's not called tikkun? To the extent that you're allowed to separate it, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says explicitly you're not allowed to separate it. Says the Gemara, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda adifa mid Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that you're allowed to look at the other side. And therefore, both according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to eat from the rest, even if you don't separate it yet. You're just intending to leave it over. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says you're not allowed to separate it. Rabbi Yehuda goes one step further and says if in any case you're allowed to eat it, it's not called tikkun. If it's not called tikkun, then go separate it. Why not? The reason Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says you shouldn't separate it is once you do an activity of separating it, then you're going to start doing a tikkun, and it could be in future you're going to get confused and you're going to separate the part for the kohen on Shabbos, even when you're not allowed to, and you're going to end up doing a tikkun and fixing up the foods, even when you're not allowed to. Therefore, he said, don't do any activity. Just dedicate, have in mind to keep one part for the kohen, eat the rest. Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about that, and Rabbi Yehuda just says, no, since I'm allowed to eat it anyway, there's no issue with fixing, go ahead and separate it, even on Shabbos. And the Achrenim here discuss exactly why, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he didn't allow them to separate it. He just insisted that they merely dedicate part of it for the kohen and leave it on inside the mixture on the side, and not allow them to take it out. And you know, Rashi just says that since for Oinik Shabbos it was enough just to have in mind to separate it, therefore they shouldn't separate it, and Nachrenim explain why he had an issue with it. Says the next Mishnah, and we've seen this already previously in the Gemara, on Daf Kuf Chof Hei, Ho'even she'al pi hachovis, a stone which is generally considered muktza, muktza machmas gufoi, is on top of a barrel. Shall pia chovis, it's covering the mouth, the opening of a cask. Moto al tzido, if you want to remove, you want to take out some of the wine from inside the barrel, you tilt the stone onto its side, vehino feles, and it falls, and then you can take out whatever you want to take out. But you're not allowed to actually, with your hands, move the stone directly, because it's muktza machmas gufoi. Continues the Mishnah, if this barrel was amongst other barrels, we'll see in the Gemara later, either it was a very tightly cramped storehouse with lots of other barrels there, or there were glass utensils there, but either way, and tipping off the stone may cause other barrels or glassware to smash, so he doesn't want to do that. Magbia, he can lift up the whole barrel, umoto al tzido, Vehine Feles, you take the whole barrel somewhere safe, where you're not worried if the stone's going to fall on anything, and then you tilt off the stone, take out what you need from the barrel, and when you're finished, you put the barrel back where it was. The next halacha, Mo'is She'al Hakar, we saw this before, if you have coins on a pillow, and coins are mukta, and you want to move the pillow, Menayer Es Hakar, then you're not allowed to move the coins, you cannot take them away directly, then you just have to tilt and shake off the coins from the pillow. And the coins will fall down without you having touched them directly. Another halacha, Hoysa Olov Lishleshes. If there was some filth, whether it's some excrement or some spit on this pillow, Mekamcho, you can wipe it, besmartut, with a rag, but you're not allowed to pour water onto it, because pouring water onto material is similar to washing it, and washing it could be melabin, whitening, which is asa. Hoyso shel oir, if this pillow was covered with skin, with hide, And a hai, typically when you wash it with water, that's not the way you clean it. Noisnin aleo maim, you're allowed to put water on it, ad shetichlo, until all the filth disappears. Says the Gemara, Omar v'hun omarav, lo yishonu elo b'shechech. This halacha, that if there's a stone on top of a barrel, you're allowed to tilt the barrel, because the barrel in its own right is not mukta, and allow the stone to fall off, is only true if when Shabbos came in, or just before Shabbos came in, bein hashmashos, the stone was left there by mistake. Aval b'maniach, if you intentionally put the stone onto this barrel before Shabbos came in, Naase bosis ledovar haosur. The barrel itself becomes a base for the stone, and the barrel itself is mukta, and you're not allowed to tilt it to let the stone fall off. You're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, if the barrel was amongst other barrels and you didn't want to push the stone off it in fear of breaking one of the other barrels, says the Gemara, man tana de kol hecha de ikka isura vehatera, behatera torchinon be isura loy torchinon. We have here a case where you have two options. Either you move the stone off with your hand, or you take the whole barrel with the stone and you drag it to some other place safe, which is much more effort, and then you can tilt off the stone. So you see in our Mishnah that since you're able to move the barrel and not have to touch the stone directly, we prefer that you do the hetera torchinon and isura loy torchinon, but not to move the isser, to move the stone, the mukta, with your hands. Who holds of this? Omar Rabbi Bar Bar Chon Omar Rabbi Yechonon, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. It's the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Ditnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Haboirer, if somebody separates or sorts kitnios, which is types of vegetables, of beans, be yom tov. If somebody wants to separate on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do boira. On yom tov, if it's oichel nefesh, it could be muta. So if somebody wants to separate kidneys on yom tov, b'shamay oimrim boira oichel va'oichel. B'shamay say that you have to separate the good, it's what you do want, and leave behind what you don't want. Boira oichel, pick the food, the part that you want, va'ichl and eat it, and just leave the rest. Beis Hillel oimrim, Beis Hillel say, boirer kadarkoi, do what you would do during the week. And typically during the week, what would you do? Since there's so much more food than the psoiles, than what you don't want, you will just move aside what you don't want. So Yom Tov also says, Beis Hillel, move aside the what you don't want, and then you can, the rest is left over and you can eat it. Boirer kadarkoi, you remove the psoiles from the oichel, b'cheikoi, you can do it in his lap, or b'tamchoi, or on a big plate. V'tanya, and we learned a braisa regarding the opinion of Beis Hillel, Omer Shimon ben Gamliel, b'med varim amurim, when is it true that you're allowed to take the psoiles and leave the oichel, according to Beis Hillel, sheha oichel meruba la psoiles, when you have a lot of oichel, and then if you're going to take away the oichel, it's going to be a lot of effort. And therefore, we rather that you just take away the psoiles. Aval psoiles meruba al oichel. In a case where separating the psoiles is much more effort than separating the oichel, taking away the oichel, divrei hakol boirer oichel. Then even Beis Hillel agrees to Beis Shammai that you're not allowed to separate the psoiles, you have to take away the oichel. Now the Gemara is asking, v'hohocha, in our Mishnah, d'chi oichel meruba ala psoiles domi. The moving the whole barrel, the barrel itself, which is not mukta, is the oichel. And the stone is called the psoiles. Over here, what's more, it's much more to have to move the whole barrel, which is oichel, and just moving the stone by hand is the psoiles. So why, according to Shimon ben Gamliel, that said, according to Beis Hillel, that if you, the effort to move the psoiles is less than the effort to move the oichel, you move the psoiles. So why over here do we not say the same? If instead of moving the whole barrel with the stone, just take off the stone. Answers the Gemara, Hocha Nami, Kiven de Iboya le Mishkal Veloimish Dakil Le Ya Veloimish Dakile Yaina de Shokile. Kepsoilis Maruba La'ichel Domi. He's saying over there, you can either do the Malacha of Boira by taking away the Oichel, or the Pseilis, do the one that's the least effort. Over here, in any case, if you're going to want to empty the whole barrel from the wine, in any case, you have to tilt away the whole barrel. In any case, you have to do that. So here we're saying that if you're going to say at the beginning, just take away the stone, remove the stone, and afterwards you have to, in any case, move the barrel. So what have you gained? You've done even more work. Rather, just tilt the whole barrel with the stone, and that way when you're tilting it anyway, you can empty it from the wine that you want to take out anyway, and then you've done less effort than first taking off the stone separately and then tilting the whole barrel. And that's why it's compared to Pseilis Meruba La'ichel Domi, and that's why the halacha here is that you tilt the barrel and you do not take off the stone. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah that if this barrel with the stone on is amongst the other barrels, and therefore you do not want to, or you're not able to tilt it to get the stone off, you're allowed to take the whole barrel with the stone elsewhere and tilt it off. Tanya, we saw in a Braisa, Rabbi Yosi Omer, if this barrel is in a tightly cramped storehouse, and we're worried that if he's going to tilt it, the stone is going to fall on the next barrel and break it. Or if beyond this barrel there was some glassware, you can move the whole barrel with the stone to another place, and tilt it onto its side, and the stone will fall off. And you can take from it then any wine that you want. And then you can put the barrel back into the storehouse. Continues the Gemara, Mois Sha'al Hakar. We saw in the Mishnah, if there are coins which are muktamach mazgufa, you're not allowed to move them at all on the pillow. Menayres Hakar, you can shake the pillow up from the coins, Vehein Noiflis, and the coins will fall on the floor. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbeishya, Shochach Aron Riki Bechotzer. If somebody left his purse, he forgot his purse in a chotzer. Maniach oleo, you're allowed to place on top of this purse kikor, a loaf of bread, or a tinoik, or a child, or metaltelo. And then you're allowed to move this aronaki, this purse, this pouch, together with the child, and agav, the child, you're carrying, you want to move the child, you want to move the loaf. The loaf is on top of this aronaki, so you move the loaf via the aronaki, and it's mutter. That's what Rabbi Oshia holds. Om Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchok says, Shochach Leveino Bechotzer, if you forgot a brick in the Chotzer, and it's Mukta, and you're not allowed to bring it in, Maniach Oleho, you put on top of it, Kikor, a tinoik, a loaf of bread, or a child, Umetaltelo, and then you can move it, you move the brick, and you're moving the child via the brick, and that way you can bring the brick with the child into the home. Omer Rav Yehuda Bar Shila, Omer Rav Asi. Pam achas shochachu diskio mleo mois. They once left, if they forgot, a pouch full of coins besratio in a public throughfare, which is a rishus harabim. Ubo v'sholu es Rabbi Yochanan, and they asked Rabbi Yochanan, what can we do? V'omar lehen, Rabbi Yochanan told them, henicho leo kikor oitinik, put a loaf of bread or a child on top of this pouch, v'tiltilu, and then you can move it. And don't forget, we're in Rishus HaRabim. What can you do in Rishus HaRabim? So Rashi says that in this event, you're not allowed to move it more than Dalad Amos, but you can move it less than 4 Amos and then stop, and then move it another less than 4 Amos and stop, and that way you can move it to safety. And or Rashi gives other examples how you can actually move this pouch via a child or a loaf in a Rishus HaRabim. Continues the Gemara. Omar Marzutra, Hilchase Kechol Hani Shmeitza B'Sheicheach. All this is true that you're allowed to rely on a child or a loaf only if you forgot these things outside and you forgot them in an unsafe place. And since you don't want to lose them, you're allowed to save them by using this idea of putting a loaf or a child on top of it. But if you left it there, especially if you intentionally left it where it was from before Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it even by putting a child or a loaf on top of it. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, Afilu shochach nami lo. Ravashi goes even further and says, you're not allowed to use a loaf or a child ever, even if what you're trying to save was done, you left outside by mistake. V'le omru kikori tinuk, the whole concept of a kikori tinuk is only said, elo lemeis bilvad, in order to retain the human dignity of a corpse, and if you're going to leave a dead body in the sun, it's going to be a bizoyin. Therefore, you're allowed to move this body by putting a loaf or a child on top of it. Continues the Gemara. Abaya monach kapo akipi. There was some sheaves of grain that one wouldn't have been allowed to move on Shabbos, and Abaya wanted to move them, so he put a kapo, a spoon, on top of it, and he moved the whole thing. He allowed to move the spoon, so I'm moving the sheaves, and with it the spoon. Rova, monach sakino abar yoino. There was some raw dove meat, and he wanted to move it, so he put a knife on top of it, umataltalo, and then he moved it. Omar Rav Yosef commented, "Kamo harifa shmeitza de daradiki." The younger learners, they think that they're very, very sharp, saying these type of halachas. Eimad Omar Rabbanon b'sheicheach. You're only ever allowed to use this type of method by putting something muta on top of something muktza and moving it, only if you forgot it there. Lekatchila mi Omar, but if you didn't lekatchila leave it there, and you're not afraid it's going to get ruined, and you didn't forget it there, you put it there intentionally, and there's nothing's going to get ruined, and we assume that's the case of Abaya and Rava. You have the sheaves of grain, all this dove meat, it didn't get forgotten there. You put it there, and it was safe. Now you want to move it somewhere else. Who says you're allowed to use a knife or a spoon to allow you to move the muktza? Omar Abaya responded as follows. Ilav de Adam Choshev Ano. If not that I was such a distinguished person, Kapo Akipi Lomoli, I don't even need a spoon to put onto these sheaves of grain in order to allow me to move them. Look at Lomoli, why do I need it? Hochozi lemizga alayu. One's allowed to. One can use these sheaves of grain to recline upon, and they're not even muktza. So I could have taken it as it is, even without the stone. He just said that the reason that he put the stone on is because I'm a very distinguished person. I don't want people to learn from me that one can be lenient, and therefore, and they're going to think that you can move the sheaves just like that, and therefore I put a spoon on top of it. But they're not even really muktza. So there's no issue here. Omar Rava. And Rava said, Ano ilav de Adam Choshev Ano. And Rava also said that, if not that I was such a distinguished person, Sakino abar yoino lomali, I don't even need to put the knife onto this dove's meat. Hachozi li leumtza. I'm able to even eat it raw. It's not muktza. You can eat this meat raw. Since it's not muktza, therefore, there's no issue here. The reason I put a knife on is because I'm a distinguished person and I don't want people to learn to learn from me and to be lenient from me. Says the Gemara, Taima dechazi leumtza. It seems from what Rava said that the only reason that this dove's meat is not mukta is because it's edible, even raw. Ha loichazi leumtza. In the event that this meat would not have been edible in a raw state, loi, then you would not be allowed to do this, and it would be considered muktza. Why is it muktza? It's capable, it's edible for the cats. And if a cat can eat it, it's animal food. If it's animal food, then why is it muktza? Lememra de Rava Kerb Yehuda Sfirle. Are you suggesting that Rava holds like Kerb Yehuda, that he takes the whole stringencies of muktza? And that's why over here he says that even though an animal could eat it, and Rashi explains that normally if an animal could have eaten it, if it was ready for an animal before Shabbos, of course it's not muktzah, everyone agrees with that. Over here we're talking about a case that when Shabbos came in, it was edible for a man, it's still edible for a man, it's just raw, and it has to be cooked. And some meats, when they're raw, a man can't eat them, even though a cat could eat them. But, and therefore, since it's only edible, then anything that's also edible for man is not going to be considered edible, or we don't give it significance in Hilchos Muktza, even though it can be eaten by a cat, an animal, a dog, and therefore over here, this umtza, if not for the fact that it's edible by a man, it's considered muktza. And the Gemara is asking, that's all if you follow Rabbi Yehuda, who follows all the stringencies of muktza. Does Rava hold that way? Va'omar Rava l'shami, Rava said to his attendant, Tovi li, roast for me, on Yontav we're talking about, roast for me bar avza a goose, v'shodi me'er l'shunra, and throw the intestines to the cat. So you see clearly that something that is you're allowed to throw to the cat is not considered muktza. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, since it's intrinsically edible for man, and if it's edible for man after Yontav, then the fact that it's edible for an animal now on Yontav is not significant. It should be mukta. And if it's not mukta, it seems he holds that Reb Shimon that doesn't hold of most of the halachas of mukta. So why are you saying here that Rava said that the only reason that it's not mukta is because it's edible for me? Says the Gemara, no. Really, Rava holds like Reb Yehuda. And therefore it's mukta. He holds all the stringencies of mukta. And the reason that over here it's asa in our case is because since it's edible for man, we don't give any significance to the fact that it's now edible also for an animal. And since it will only be edible for man after you cook it, after Shabbos or Yom Tov, so for now it's mukta. After Shabbos, not talking about Yom Tov. Hasam, but in the case of the cat, where Rava said to his attendant that you can throw the intestines to the cat, over there it's not a contradiction. Kiven de misrach daite ilavei, he knew that the intestines of this goose, when are they going to be edible for man? Only when they get cooked after Yom Tov. And by then, they will have got ruined. And therefore, even from before Yom Tov, he already had in his mind, the intestines are going to go to the cats. And they're not going to be for man. Since already before Yom Tov it was decided that it's going to be animal food, it's not mukta. Kiven de misrach date lave me'esmel, already from the day before, it was in his mind it's going to be for the animals, and therefore it's not mukta. Hochanami mistabra, I can bring you proof. It's probable the Rava Reb Yehuda Sfirulei, that Rava holds like Reb Yehuda, that he does hold of all the stringencies of mukta. The Dorash Rava, Rava taught as follows. Isha loitikones lebeisa itzim, a woman should not go into the storehouse where the wood is stored, the woodshed, little mehem ud, in order to take a poker with which to poke the fire with. Why? Because these woods are slated for the fire, and they're not supposed to be carried as a kli. It's not considered a kli, and therefore it's mukta. Now, even though these woods are not really mukta, because on Yom Tov you're allowed to make a fire, and these woods are slated to be firewood. However, the halacha is that you're only allowed to move something for what it was dedicated for. Since these woods were dedicated to be burnt, you're not allowed to use them as a utensil, as a kli, to use it to prod and to poke, or whatever you were going to use this ud for. The ud shenishbar, if you had one of these pokers from before Yom Tov and it broke on Yom Tov, also lasikoi b'Yom Tov, even though you're allowed to make a fire on Yom Tov to cook your food. But since when Yom Tov came in, this was a kli, now that it got broken, then its new dedication to be burnt is like noilad. It's been born with a new purpose. And this new purpose was born on Yom Tov, and that doesn't take away the mukta from it. You're only allowed to use it for what it was initially supposed to be used for, and it was only supposed to be used as a kli. Now the kli is broken, it's mukta. Lefisha masikin bekelin ve'ein masikin b'shivrei kelim, on Yom Tov, you're only allowed to move real kelim that are not mukta. You can throw them in the fire. But b'shivrei kelim, fragments of kelim that they broke on Yom Tov, and now on Yom Tov, when Yom Tov came in, they were regular kelim. Now they've lost their title of kelim. They're only able to be used as firewood. So this new ability of theirs to be exclusively firewood was a newborn purpose, and that's going to be mukta. You're not allowed to use it for that. All the while, it's a whole vessel. It's not mukta. You can do what you want with it. You can move it. You want to throw it in the fire, throw it in the fire. But you're allowed to move it as a kli. But since now the shivra kelim, it was noilad, therefore it's mukta, shma mino, since this Rava said this, And it must be that he follows Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Shimon, it wouldn't be true that Rabbi Shimon says that most of the halachas of Muktzah don't apply, and you would be allowed to even throw Shivrei Kelim into a fire. So you see here that Rava follows Rabbi Yehuda. In Mirtzah Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.